Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And Jeff, there was one good thing about rain today.
And was?
Just not a good day to be outside. That means that Doug Deacon probably can't play golf today. But that does mean that he's nice enough to join us. So, see, there's a rainbow in every cloud.
Could be in the clubhouse.
No, that's true, too. Mm-hmm. You always have to mess things up for me.
Thank you.
It was so easy. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we bring in Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, our favorite offensive lineman of all time. Hi, Deke, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just not able to feed the ponds with golf balls today.
Fair enough. Would you have played golf today if it was nice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we would have tried to get out. It's an ugly game I have, though.
It's okay.
As long as it's a game.
Yeah.
And you'll get a little extra time to play during the football season now because the Browns will be in primetime. What'd you think of the four nationally televised games throughout the season, three in the first 4 weeks?
Well, I think it's pretty strong coming out of the box as far as the games, playing three out of the first four. But then if you look at the second half of the schedule, we're in the past, it seemed like we always used to open and end with Pittsburgh, starting with Tennessee, and Cincinnati is a little bit better mix to have to go through.
Look, I was hoping that the NFL wouldn't hang some real tough games on the Browns early on, and that's exactly what they did. What is it, five out of the first seven games against teams that had winning records last year? That's a tough challenge for a young team coming together under a first-year head coach, is it?
Well, yeah, especially, you look at the San Francisco game. You go out there and play, and then you come home. You're probably going to get home at about 8 o'clock in the morning and then regroup for Seattle the next week. So, I mean, those back-to-back games like that, are really tough on you, and especially on the coaching staff because, they've got to get their game plans ready for the next week, and a lot of times they'll work in advance on them. But for a new coaching staff, it's a challenge for them too.
Deke, is it difficult to go out to the West Coast and play a game? Like, I just have nightmares about the Browns playing those 4:30 games against what used to be LA and now is LA again, and or Oakland or San Francisco. For some reason, those late games on the West Coast, they feel weird. I think as a fan, I'm just curious. As someone that travels with the team now and played with the team before, is there something, a weird vibe about those games out on the West Coast?
Well, I think that, the vibe is, trying to catch up with, and get your body clock squared away once you get back. And, I think there's different ways they go about it. Some coaches like to go out 2 days in advance to try to get your body adjusted, and some coaches just like to go out the day before. And I think in the past, we went out 2 days before. I think my understanding is we're just going to go out the day before and, tie up the laces and go play.
Doug, I thought it was interesting yesterday. John Dorsey meets with the media, that pre-draft press conference, and he immediately gets hit with not draft questions as much as Duke Johnson questions. And when you sign Kareem Hunt, that's what you're thinking. You have Kareem and Nick Chubb. Until Kareem's ready to go, you have Nick Chubb. And you would think Duke Johnson. I mean, you can go add another running back, but I think it's an interesting situation the Browns are in because we like the guy. I don't want to give him away. And yet, boy, is there a need for another running back to go along with Nick Chubb early on. I'm anxious to see how the Browns kind of sort this one out. What approach do you think John might use?
Well, I think, it would have to be an offer that, he thought was in his favor in order to, make a deal for Duke Johnson. I mean, you just can't get enough depth on your football team, and that's a position where, you're going to see guys go down. The longevity for running backs is probably the lowest of any position in the NFL. So if you're going to go and make a run at winning the AFC North, you'd like to have as much depth. And I think that's one of the things that John has done. Not only has he brought in some impact players when you look at the Odell Beckhams, but, he's also brought in some guys that can upgrade the special teams because in the past, the special teams have been pretty horrendous. And, we've got a new coach there, and I think, that's going to be a big addition to him. But, you also have to have that, you know, those backups that have experience playing special teams, and that's a big, you know, key component, and I think they've done a good job of that.
Doug, I think it's interesting. You trade Kevin Zeitler, who obviously is a very good offensive lineman, and that's part of getting the guys from the Giants. I understand that. I get it. You're going to give Austin Corbett a shot. You bring back Greg Robinson. Then I thought John made some really good veteran signings, bringing in some experience that and versatile experience on the offensive line. Are you comfortable with where the line is right now?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one you didn't mention is Desmond Harrison, because yeah. You know, he was a guy that he got thrown into the fire early last year, didn't participate early in training camp. He was dinged there, and then they needed somebody to go play it, and he played it. He had a little some problems between the holding penalties and the bull rushes. But I think, you know, he's one of those guys in his second year. If he hits the weight room, you know, all of a sudden you've got a viable backup at left tackle, which is, you know, your most, you know, important position on that offensive line. So, you know, there's some, you know, nice scenarios there. And then the fact that, as you mentioned, you know, they went and got the two Witzman and I'm trying to think of the other guy, you know.
Cush.
That, you know, have experience. And it gives you depth and it gives you competition because, you know, hey, we don't know about Corbett, but, you know, I think, you know, John is believes that he's going to be able to step in and do it. And, you know, he sat behind two good, you know, basically Pro Bowl guards in Zeitler and Corbett. I mean, in Betonio. So, you know, it's a nice thing to have somebody in the back that you can bring up, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't lose a step, hopefully.
Doug, the other guy who's interesting on that line, they signed Kendall Lamb, who started 13 games at right tackle for Houston last year. I wonder if that's a competition between Lamb and Hubbard, or if Lamb's going to be depth or what. And
well, I think it could be a competition because, you know, Hubbard is a guy that he doesn't have a lot of starts. You know, he's played a lot of different positions. But, you know, if you've got somebody knocking on the door that has got some starts, the competition gets better. And I think that's the great thing about the roster that he's assembled. There's competition up and down it.
Deke, I'm curious about this. And Mary Kay brought it up this morning, so I want to ask you this question. She talked about Odell Beckham Jr. not, like, being here for the non-mandatory stuff, which I always think it's a joke when they say, well, it's voluntary. Well, is it really voluntary? And then she coupled that with just talking a little bit about how tough the schedule is in the beginning of the season, especially the first 4 weeks. Is it important for him to be here right now? How do you view the mandatory versus not mandatory world that we live in with the NFL?
Well, I mean, fortunately, I guess I didn't have to go through that part of it. But, you know, when we used to have it, they had an off-season program, and they'd pay you $50 to every. You could only get paid for 4 days of the week. But, you know, it gives you an idea of the guys that you don't want to play. And in Odell's case, you know what you have. But I think, you know, the important part about this team is going to be the chemistry and how long it takes them to build the chemistry with everybody. Even as great as he is, you have to be able to fit in with your teammates. And, you know, I think going into the season, the big thing you're looking at is wins over stats. And, you know, we've got some guys that have had some big stats in the past that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you look and there's other people, so you might not get as many balls or as many carries. But, you know, I think, you know, the great example of that is Chubb, the running back. He doesn't care about how many carries or how many yards he gets. He just cares about how many wins you get. And that's what the kind of players that Dorsey wants.
Doug Deacon joining us. Doug, the Arizona Cardinals appear ready to take Kyler Murray with the number one pick in the draft. And I don't know if he was anybody's number one pick in the draft until Cliff Kingsbury went out there. And I'm just kind of curious to see how this guy does. And is he, and Andy, I've chatted about this a little bit, following up Russell Wilson and Baker, is he the next, is he the poster child for, boy, you can even be 5'10 and be a starting quarterback in the NFL? I'm not sure he's going to work, but I'm real curious to see what happens with him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Baker has kind of been the trendsetter. I mean, and obviously Russell Wilson before him. But, you know, in Russell Wilson's case, you know, he's always had the wins, but he's also had a pretty good defense, to, you know, yeah. In case things to keep him in the ball games. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that's the prototypical 6'4" quarterback is not the standard. You know, all of a sudden you're seeing guys sneak in that are, you know, under 6 foot. But, you know, the success of Russell Wilson, then the success of Baker, you know, it opens some eyes. It's about the kid and whether or not he can move the football and how, you know, he can adapt to the pro game. Because, you know, a lot of these kids come out of that spread offense in college, and it's a big adjustment. And, you know, you start calling your own plays and you're doing your checkoffs, and it's a mental part of it that also, you know, is, you know, you look at Tom Brady. He doesn't get sacked a lot because he knows where the ball's going. It's, you know, just like Peyton Manning, it gets out of his hands in a hurry.
Doug, does it surprise you that Josh Rosen is sitting out there in Arizona? They traded up to get him. They took him number 10, and yet they're going after Murray?
Yes and no. I mean, that's a pretty big investment at number 10. But then, you know, all of a sudden you're handed with the first pick in the draft, and you know, you see what how a Baker sparks a franchise, and all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking maybe you know, we made a bad choice. But by the same token, you know, you always can wheel and deal with the whoever doesn't cut the mustard for him, and you know, pick up more draft picks.
Deke, did you play the schedule game?
Nah, you know, even as a player, you know, you just know you got to play 16 of them, and you know, there was a point in time where he said, "Oh, you know, that should be a win," and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's not a win. So I just, you know, kind of look at the travel aspect, and you know how it's going to wear and tear on the team, because you know, we talked about those West Coast trips, you know, they can take some juice out, and then you start playing at different times. That's an adjustment, especially you know when you got young kids that have, you know, only played maybe 12 games in a college season. Now you're playing the four exhibitions and the 16 games, and hopefully more. It's a different demand on your body.
Deke, last question for you too. And how does it change when you're playing these national? I mean, the nationally televised games take a little bit more out of you than they do, I would say, a regular Sunday. Just, aren't you doing more meetings? Aren't you? I mean, you might have more requests. Obviously, you got more people that want to see what you're going to do. Does it change? Does it change for the player? Does the routine change? What happens when you're on these nationally televised games?
Well, obviously, you know that, you know, all your peers are watching, and you know, that's the one thing that I think in your family,
right.
and you know, you don't want to be embarrassed, and. One of the great stories was Jerry Shirk on the first Monday night game. You know, Howard Cosell is talking about how they're handling the rookie defensive tackle. That was his rookie year,
right,
out of Oklahoma State. And Shirk the next day gets, you know, a bunch of phone calls. "Hey, man, sorry you had a bad game. Sorry you had a bad game." And Shirk says, "Wait, I didn't have a bad game." But, you know, Howard Cosell could, you know, he would like anything in New York and everything. So anyhow, the guy that Shirk was playing against, the guard, we were going to play that the Jets a few years later, but he got traded. So he got traded to Philadelphia. And so later on that year, we played Philadelphia. And Shirk got it. I think it was Brad Buddy was his name. And, but anyhow, Shirk had a chance to play against him, you know, and he wanted to, you know, show everybody. Well, the guy is a game-time scratch, and this poor guy that went in and filled in for Shirk got his butt whooped. I think Shirk had 3.5 or 4 sacks in the game. So, you know, it's one of those where, you know, it's a motivational factor, and everybody, you know, likes to play in prime time and, you know, show what they can do. But you also have to keep it in perspective. You know, this is about winning, not about, you know, me and how good I look. It's about how good the team plays that we can win a football game.
It's interesting, especially if Cosell's saying your name and it's not 100% perfect.
I
totally
he,
can see
he
that.
Liked to do that.
Yeah. He didn't say anything about you, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I was just an offensive lineman. I don't think he knew anything about those guys.
All right, Deke, hit him straight. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon, maybe after the draft here, after the Browns come back.
Sounds good.
Come
okay.
back up. So thank you.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Doug.
It. Thank you, Deke. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, nice enough to join us today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.